Welcome to Long Story Long. I'm your host, Lisa Curry. Today's guest is the very funny Jessica Michelle Singleton. She is the host of the podcast Two Filthy Nerds and also Ignorance is Hashtag Blessed. And she has her second comedy album coming out on October 1st called Horny for Death. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. This was a really fun conversation and I think you're going to like it. Here you go. Hello, Jessica Michelle. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me in your...
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Your humble Zoom room.
You're in Alaska right now?
I am. Yeah, it's been fun. You're coming up here.
I am.
It'll be in like a couple
more weeks. Or you know what? When this comes out, maybe this weekend. I don't know. Look at my fucking calendar. I don't know where I'm at right now.
Does anyone? Listen, I mean, it's great up here. You're going
to
have fun.
If you want to come to a show, you'll make it. Oh,
I hope
thanks.
It's still summertime when you come up here. It's like on its way out, but there's been a couple sunny days where like, mwah.
Well, a friend of mine, I don't know if you know Kat Ageson, but she was like, oh, you're going to see the Northern Lights. And I was like, oh, that didn't even occur to me. Will
you're
I be able
not,
to see the Northern Lights?
No,
come on. Tell me I will.
Maybe.
Thank you.
I mean.
I just need you to lie to me right now, please. Thank you.
I mean, I guess the summer does like rapidly disappear all of a sudden. So maybe there's already dust on the mountains. There wasn't when I got here.
Oh, you said dust and I thought like literal dust.
There's been a dust
like
bowl.
Dead skin cells.
No, yeah, sorry. That's such a fucking Alaskan thing to be like, it's dusted up there. There's snow on the mountains and there was not when I got here. So it's like comes in like a fucking wrecking ball. So there's no way to know, you know, global warming, maybe.
Yeah, who knows? I might see the Northern Lights and I might see humpback whales.
You might on land. Yeah. You know, things are crazy.
Exactly. I'm really excited because I've never been to Alaska. And I've been to Hawaii. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like checking off every state. And I'm like, those are the hardest to get to. So
it's quite a flight. But like, buckle up. It's fun people. Think of like Indiana.
Great. Perfect.
But even more.
Cool. So I'm going to write a new hour this week.
I mean,
I have a couple long, long stories that are like good clock eaters. And I'm like, we're going to do those for sure.
Tell you some bits. It's great audiences, though. They're like fun. They come out and they're like excited for everyone from what I hear. But
great.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. So you're from Alaska.
Oh, hell yeah. No, I moved up here in sixth grade. And lived here till I was 17 when I graduated high school. And then I was like, fuck off forever. But yeah, it was it's an interesting place to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that we are similar in that I think growing up, we both wanted to do a myriad of things. Like,
yeah.
Was comedy on your radar at all when you were a kid? Or was it like, I want to be a painter, astronaut, ballerina?
A little bit of both. I think comedy circled its way in at some point when I saw like George Carlin, but yeah, no, it was very much like big astronaut. I was going to be a doctor. I went through a really big Supreme Court justice phase.
Yeah.
I was going to go to Harvard.
Well, there
this
you
is
go.
Like in Mississippi, the Gulf Coast to Mississippi with my poor ass family, not knowing my dad was like a deranged meth head yet. Like, it's like, I'm going to go to Harvard.
I mean, but, crazier things have happened.
Truly.
But, you know, not within the confines of capitalism and social hierarchies and things like that.
Of course not. No. Let's be realistic. But, you know, I definitely, like, I wanted to do everything. And it wasn't until, like, the end of high school, college, where I really thought, like, oh. You know what's so funny is that, like, comedy, making comedy is so hard. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a fucking uphill battle.
It felt really easy for me.
Fuck off. But you'll feel like you're, like, I'm on my way. I'm almost there. And then, like, sliding down, going back up, and like, things are great, you're on top of the world, oh, this job ended, whatever, my calendar's suddenly blank because I finished my day, it's kill me.
Yeah.
But I think part of the reason I wanted to do comedy was like, I literally was like, I don't think anything will come easier to me than being funny. Like, which being funny isn't, by the way, anyone listening, not enough to make it in comedy. But like, yeah, no, I was just like, well, I'm good at this. I think it was like laziness, which seems weird because
you do have
work
to work
myself
very,
to death
very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just like, okay, well,
I hope you can't hear that weed whacker in the background, by the way. Who knows if it's being picked up.
I think there might be one in my background as well. So it's sort of just like a little white noise machine for all of you guys.
Great.
I don't hear yours though, unless that's yours.
Good. Just let it soothe you if you can hear it.
Everyone just falls asleep. Yeah. No, it was like a, I don't mind doing the hard work, but I didn't want to, I guess I just was like, I don't want to learn a new skill.
But it's like, also it's hard work on your terms. It's not like, I think that one thing that was really hard for me working jobs was having a boss, because most of the time, whoever is the boss is somebody who's fully given up on life.
Yes.
And they just
and they have their little nugget of power.
Mm-hmm, that's it. And they're like, you didn't do this the exact right way. And it's like, yeah, no shit, because I don't care about it. Leave me alone. Like,
yeah, sorry, Applebee's isn't my passion, yeah. Henry.
Yelled at a manager once at a restaurant because he's like, we were slow. And he's like, well, you need to clean. And I go, you guys are paying me minimum wage. I'm going to do the minimum amount of work. Thank you. That's not what I'm doing. And he was like, what?
I love you.
And I'm like, are you going to force me to clean? Are you going to push me on the floor? No. I'll just stand here. Fucking send me home. Okay, bye. Like,
I love you. I remember watching one of my friends go, like, we all got jobs at a fast food restaurant, Carl's Jr. Mm-hmm. And like, they told her that she had to sweep the floor. And she's like, I'm not the fucking maid. And I was like,
like, you can say that?
What? And I'm over here like, if I do bad in the drive-thru, it'll go on my permanent record, like a fucking idiot, like a loser. Like, if I get fired from this job, I'll never work again. Like, I was, there's so many things I was so fucking stupid about. But yeah, no, and that's even fucked me up with, like, you know, there've been jobs that I didn't even end up getting the job, but, you know, like, mm-hmm. writing jobs and stuff you get close to or whatever. And I've made it just enough with stand-up to where it's like, I survive. It's very much like I'm getting by. That's mm-hmm. where we are. I'm not fucking rolling in money. But then like getting close to something where it would be like some sort of hierarchy, I get mm-hmm. like, I mean, I'm just going to do I have to go to an office every day? Yeah. I start getting like, yeah. Oh, I have to answer to someone. Yeah. And like panicking. But and then it doesn't even happen. And then mm-hmm. I'm like, why? But
oh yeah,
it's like, the idea of freedom, and I get like that even when like, because, you know, I don't know if you've gotten this where people go like, you know, you got a little cleaner, a little lighter in your comedy, you could make even more money or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, but if I wanted to just like climb a ladder, I would go into something more guaranteed, like some fucking corporate bullshit. Like,
that's the thing. It's like the whole fucking reason I'm doing this is to do whatever I want. And it's like, that's not to say I'm always open to notes, because I'm like, I'm obsessed with the idea of like, you don't know what you don't know. And I'm like, there's been so many times that I wish somebody would have just given me some solid advice. God, this weed whacker is so loud.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can hear it now. It is really going off. Should we go over to the window and scream at them?
Guys, it's going away. I'm
sorry. Dead.
That
is kind
of hilarious.
He passed on.
You're being heckled by a weed whacker. How does that feel? That's a new one.
It feels pretty appropriate, honestly. It's the amount of just lawn maintenance things I've been heckled by my entire life. Just my dad on a riding lawnmower just out there.
Speaking of, my friend has a baby with a guy who lost his leg to a lawnmower when he was a kid. So that is the ultimate heckle by a lawn equipment.
Wow. He lost his leg to a lawnmower.
Yeah, he was run over by it when he was like 5. That's, you know, that's just another option of how your life can pan out. And well, they would get in fights and she would take it and go away, his fake leg. I'm sorry, I'm getting way off track.
No, that's amazing. That is like, kind of makes me wish I had a partner with a fake leg. Can you imagine just be like, well, now this is happening.
Now what are you going to do,
you go
piece of shit?
Down the stairs and you're like, yeah, you're literally crawling back to me. That's right. Oh, God. Oh, the power. Oh, God.
So comedy was always on the periphery. I'm fascinated by this. You were aware of George Carlin as a kid and like watched George Carlin?
Yeah. And for those of you who are
so
completely unfamiliar with me, Lisa's mind is mostly blown because if you watch my comedy, you'd go, Carlin? That's what got it was Carlin?
It's also like, I think
it wasn't
that,
like a clown farting on an animal. That's yeah. not what got you into.
Well, I think it's, I guess it's kind of that, but more so, you know, when you hear of people's influences, they're like, oh yeah, when I was a kid, I watched all that, or I watched, you know, the Wayans brothers doing something, or like
yeah.
something like more child appropriate.
Oh yeah. Like, you know? In Living Color maybe is
yeah.
like where you get like,
yeah,
oh
not
yeah.
like, oh, I'm 6 and I'm watching this super heady.
Oh yeah. But it's like, my mom was just like, my mom loved Carlin. She was a neglectful alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So it was on and we were in the room and it's like, all right, well, either watch it or shut the fuck up and go somewhere else. And so, like, it was the same. Like, we started watching South Park when it first came out, and I was like 8 or 9 going, "Mom, what's a dildo?" And like, it's like, she just didn't give a fuck. So I got exposed to lots of stand-up comedy. He's the one that sticks out because I think he must have been my mom's favorite. But like, yeah, I was always aware of stand-up comedy. Wasn't aware. I remember like getting older and finding out that like people were paid to like act.
Yes.
And my mind was blown.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was like, they get money for that? Like, I just thought like they loved it so much they were just doing it because they loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, because I didn't understand capitalism and how the fucking world works. And it's like, yeah, no, most people can't just be like, I'm gonna take a 3-month hiatus and do a musical for joy or whatever. That's,
yeah, I feel like when I started stand up, I was like, well, I guess I'm just gonna be poor forever. And then I remember hearing, and not like this is a different level of comic, but I remember hearing like what Jay Leno would get for speaking appearances, and I was like, excuse me,
more? Yeah,
how much? Well, a year's salary?
I mean, I didn't know till like I was in comedy that like you got, I didn't know people got paid for late night sets. I was like, what? Like I and that's like a reflection of like being especially like an early comedian. It's like, it's not just the exposure.
That's that says so much about how we were raised and what our goals were too, that it's anything. It's also like, and I'm sure by extension you probably feel similarly on this, where I'm like, it's so hard for me to accept that when I'm working and having fun that it's work. Like I got back from Dubai on Saturday, and Sunday I was like, Sunday morning I was up at 7:30, and I was like, all right, here we go, time to work. And my roommate was like, what are you doing? Like, if I just got back from 11 time zones away, I would be sleeping all day. And I'm like, no, because I didn't work all week. And she's like, yeah, you went there for work. And I'm like, right, but I also had fun. So it doesn't count.
I have to punish myself. Oh, 100%. It's like, oh no, the stand-up is like, that's the reward I get for the work. Like, and that's how you get, but it's like, no, that is fucking work. And I don't know if you are like this. I fucking know you're like this, but like, we're fucking like deranged workaholics where it's like, okay, well, I don't know what we have to achieve or what we have to book or get hired on where we can go, oh, I could just take 5 minutes and relax. But it's like, no, those gigs are over. So I have to do something else. I have to get something else. I have to keep going. And it's crazy. And then even like getting to the point where you start making money, and then like when you start to get like, you know, the gigs that come in that are good money, it's like this self-worth mind fuck of like, what? Or negotiating for stand-up stuff and like, what's your rate? And you're like,
like, what can I squeeze out of you?
Yeah. And then like making sure you ask for enough. And you ever like get a yes too quickly and you're like, oh, your budget's way bigger.
Like, fuck. What am I doing?
And you're like, fucking, I'm worthless.
Okay. I know. I remember one time for the second corporate I ever did, I just threw out a number that sounded absolutely insane to me. But I was also like in a place where I was like, I have no money and I need a lot of money right now. And so I just threw out a crazy number. And the guy was like, yeah, sounds great. And I was like, huh? And then when I got there, I thought I was doing an hour. And it was like for this like medical conference. And he's like, all right, how's 15, 20 minutes sound? And I was like, what? You're paying me that much money for 15, 20 minutes? Like I was glad I didn't know it was 15, 20 minutes. Cause I'm like, I never would have thrown out that number. I would have thought that was obscene. But yeah, yes. To your question of like getting a yes quickly. And then you're like, did you send the email to the correct person? Lisa Curry?
Did you read my email? Did you see what I wrote there? Yeah, and it's just like, and I guess maybe that's like the reward for all the years of fucking getting nothing, paying for open mics and just buying drinks to be like, gotta support the room or whatever. Yeah. But like, it's just so nuts. And it's so weird that we're in a career where there will never be. I mean, you look at like, you know, Writers Guild minimums, or if you get into acting, there's like, there's not a fucking stand-up union. So it's just like, there's never going to be what this job pays.
I know.
It's just like from gig to gig.
When comics ask me like, oh, well, what should my rate be? I'm like, the most you can possibly fucking get.
Yeah. Squeeze every penny out of it. Yeah. And it's like, and don't, I had a thing for a while and it was like active work of like, you know, just fucking corny self-worth bullshit, but also just being like, just fucking ask. Of like, I would under ask, and I knew I was under asking, but it was like, well, I don't want, you know, I don't want to be presumptuous. I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, fuck you. Like, I'm going to, and also thinking that I couldn't say no to things.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, and I'll never get another opportunity if I say mm-hmm. no to this shitty offer.
Yeah. I said no to something recently, and I swear, I was like, ooh, this.
Did you come?
Like, almost turned me on to say no.
Yeah.
Because it was like for a corporate gig, and this guy offered me an actually insulting amount of money. And I was like, ugh. I mean, I wasn't rude about it because a friend had recommended me. So I was like, well, I don't want to reflect poorly on her. But I was like, oh, no, thank you. But maybe you can find an open micer to do that for that amount of
yeah.
money.
Yeah. You're like, certainly, you know, not somebody thanks who's for your time.
Yeah. Like, oh, did, and then I felt like, it's funny because it's a flip where you're like, did you see my fucking resume? You know? Yeah. And then somebody offers you what you're worth and you're like, oh God, did you see my resume though?
It's yeah, not, you're like, I'm really not. I'm not a big deal. I don't know. Are you sure? I don't. Yeah. I feel like maybe it's so insane that like, or the amount of time someone would offer me, oh, you know, we can't do much more than this. And I'd be like, well, like, you know, I really do want to come there for my fans. So I guess I could make it work when it's really just like, yeah, I don't have anything else booked. Like when I, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're first getting into like making money and you're, yeah. I mean, you and I started tours together doing like stupid ass door deals where it's like, oh, the whole door, but if nobody comes, nothing. Yeah, let's do that. That's fucking.
Yeah, that seems reasonable to drive yeah. across the country for.
Yeah, then you'll do absolutely no work because it's literally no sweat off your back. And you normally yeah. promote every other show, but like, fine. Yeah, no. And it's like going from that to learning like, okay, well, I had to start setting, like writing down, like, this is the minimum. Do not take less than this. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not leaving town for less than this amount of money. Like, yeah. because it's just all a mind fuck. And money's so weird in general, but then when you grow up poor.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't want to talk about it, especially like.
Yeah, people are so
don't
secretive.
Talk to women about what they're making. And I feel like the more I talk about it, the more I'm able to ask for more. And I encourage people to ask for more because it's also like you don't need to hire a comedian. So if you have for a private event or a corporate or whatever, that's not a necessity. You need yeah. to hire a comedian to keep a comedy club going. But like if this is an extra thing you're doing, that would be like you or I hiring a caterer for a party at our house. We don't need it. So maybe
you
we
gotta
can't
pay
afford
for
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, well, you know, maybe you just have to get better at conversation with your friends mm-hmm. instead of putting on a show. But like, yeah. And then you have to go like, okay, well then you must be willing to put forth the expense.
Yeah.
And especially, it's so funny. Well, especially if someone like is a fan of yours because they've come across you in some way, it's like they already see you as like a thing. You're like mm-hmm. an entity. Like, oh, I wonder if I could ever get that person to do this. So it's also just like the ball's kind of in your court at that point. Like, yeah. don't sell yourself short. It's fucking
totally back to you though. Sorry, I yeah. like really get off track here.
I mean, story of my life.
So you go to high school in Alaska in an igloo probably. And then,
of course, that's all we have. I'm actually zooming from an igloo right now. It's very they've gotten a lot bigger. They're very yeah. nice.
And then you're like oddly it has heat.
yeah.
And then that's you. The point. You graduate high school and you're like, I'm out of here. Where do you go?
Florida. I was like, where's Alaska but hot? Yeah. And literally it's like opposite weather, same exact people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I went to University of South Florida, which I ended up going to because mostly a heavily laden guilt trip and then money. I had a really great academic scholarship to go there. Part of the reason is nobody wants to go there at the time. They've gotten bigger, but I didn't know till I got there that I was like, oh, this is where everyone in Florida goes when they don't get into the school they wanted to go to.
Yeah.
So my application looked mind blowing to them. And I had family in Tampa. I didn't even apply, by the way, to go to University of South Florida. My mom applied for me because she knew I wanted to leave the state and most of her family was in Tampa. So she put in an application.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, I guess. And I was like, oh, well, now that you've tried to kill yourself in the name of my college tuition, I guess I'll go to the school you put me mm-hmm. into. But like for the best. I mean, it worked out. I mean, if I did it all over, if I could talk to my 17-year-old self now, I would go, don't go to college. Because college was like, by the time I went, I knew I wanted to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how I was going to do that. I didn't know what that looked like. But I was like, well, the whole time, I was like, well, I'm going to college because, like, you have to. It's like the backup plan.
Yeah.
And I was like, a $60,000, $40,000, whatever fucking backup plan.
You're better off buying an RV as a backup plan.
Literally. And it's like, I don't think about it. Like, I don't go into, like, depth thinking about, like, well, what if I had just, like, hit the ground running with stand-up at 17? And there's definitely, you know, I'm sure life lessons. And I made good friends and whatever, but... I bought the lie that college was like going to immediately have me make more money and that you like needed it, even though no one in my family mm-hmm. had gone. I think it's it was just like I don't want to be like my family.
Yeah. And there's a societal thing too of like, well, if you went to college, you're better than people that didn't. And it's like, are you? Because you and I both know people who graduated college who are dumb as fuck.
So dumb. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, and then it's like, oh, you need a piece of paper to validate that you're like a reasonably intelligent person. How intelligent are you really? If you're like, well, for $75,000, I could become a doctor of philosophy. I'm like, and then
$75,000, I can learn advanced algebra. What?
Yeah, like, yeah, not, okay, and not, then what?
That's high school, but you know.
Well, not for some people. Probably, they literally probably did take that class in college, and they're like, well, I've made it, and they're just like, I'm an art literature major. And you're like, what does that even mean? You spent money to read about art? I don't know. Yeah. Like, but I just thought, I think a lot of it was like this huge fear of ending up like my parents and yeah. like my family. And I was like, I have to
do everything in my power to not do this.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, whatever. Love my mom. You know, now we get along fine, as good as I think it's going to get.
But it's also like it's a life that has limitations on it.
And yeah, and it's like I watched her struggle. I struggled because of it. And it's like, I don't want every day to be a nightmare. I don't want to live every day like I fucking, how will I survive?
Mm-hmm.
And not that I don't still have several of those days all the time. But like,
yeah,
I just, yeah, no, I didn't want to be... I don't know. I felt like it was like opportunity, mm-hmm. but
that's a real thing, I think. So wait, when did you move to Florida to go to college and really to party? I
for
mean,
sure, so
Tampa,
much party.
There's Ybor
My
City.
My blood was yeah. like 80% Natty Light for 4 years. It was like insane.
When did you first try stand up?
I kept saying I'm gonna be a comedian. I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live at the time, so I would do like funny characters just like with my friends though mm-hmm. like little kind of like bits. At the time I didn't know that that's what I was doing, or like I was in a sorority because I'm fucking stupid. That was great, made lots of friends, spent money to be like, look at this shirt. I don't know. I'm like, I'm so
another
social
scam. It's a scam within a scam,
literally. And the thing is like, I have to remember this because I've been thinking lately about being like, I mean, this is gonna sound like the most old lady thing, but I've been like, maybe I should join some type of social club to like expand my network of just like, just to meet new people. And I'm like, that's a way to do it. But like any type of anything you're paying to join is a fucking scam. And it's like, no matter how, especially nowadays that the internet exists, like you can learn anything, you can meet people different places, but like, no matter how exclusive or prestigious it is, it's like, you're like, I just feel like an idiot for like anything.
No, you're not an idiot.
I mean, I am, but we all are. But like, no, but like, you know, we had variety shows as part of Greek life. They would do like yeah. competitions and I would write those and we'd always win. And like, at the time I was just like, I want to be on SNL and I didn't know how to do that. So finally my last semester of college, I was like, I'm just going to try stand up. I know mm-hmm. some of the people on SNL were stand ups and I like wrote a whole set, had no idea how long open mics would be because I found an open mic at a club. So I wrote this set that ended up being way too long. Didn't know what the light was, so got lit a bunch. Played off. I don't know if I got played off stage or I just like ended it and they're just like, all right, fine. Like, learned a lot in the first set. But when I immediately got my first laugh, it mm-hmm. was like, it was like this like light bulb went on. And I was like, no, this. Like,
I love that.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not like, it's not like SNL has been banging my door down and I'm like, no, no, no. I only do stand-up comedy. But at the time I was like, oh, I think this is where I belong, which was a cool feeling to go like, I mean, it's very woo-woo and silly, but I was like, oh, I think I'm meant to be doing this. Uh-huh. Like, it just felt right. And my first set was amazing. I didn't know they were doing this, like a semifinals for Florida's Funniest Person. Oh. So there's all these people who had been in the open mic scene for like months. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand the social community aspect of comedy. So I said
still
a lot
don't
of
know if I do.
I said a lot of shitty things about a lot of those people. I was like, I mean, come on. Like, just fucking. And then I got asked to be in the finals. Like, they're like, this girl gets to go. So there's all these people who've been doing this for months. Mm-hmm. And me and like one guy who had been there before, we get to go to the finals. And they're like, who the fuck is this bitch? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, second set, I ate a fat shit. So
amazing.
Yeah, the club booker was like, hey, that's really funny. You know, maybe for the second one, try to clean it up a little. Because mm-hmm. I said fuck every other word, which is just how I talk, but also probably a nervous thing.
Yeah.
And I think he meant a few less fucks, but I took that and I was like, I've got to go G-rated. And I wrote a terrible set that had musical cues, by the way,
oh, no.
Which were missed.
Oh,
and I
no.
was just on stage like, and there's the music is supposed to be playing and there's a whole bit and it honestly wasn't even that funny, but it was funnier than whatever I'm doing right now. Why am I doing this?
I think that's like my number one. I mean, not that I would be doing musical things with musical bits anyway, but I feel like the all of the opportunities there are for that to go wrong are the reason I would never do that.
I know that now. At the time, I was like, well, this is a professional establishment. Me knowing nothing of comedy was like, I'm not the only person to ever have a musical cue in their act, but like, I'm sure they were like, she has a musical cue for a 5-minute set.
It's like, you can only do that in like certain venues.
Yeah. And I was just naive and was just like, this will go fine. And like, it didn't. But you got, I mean, you have to bomb, I think, pretty early to know if you want to keep
doing
it.
That's all you do, I think, in the beginning. Yeah. And I try to tell people that I'm like, it's 2 years of, what in the whole fuck am I doing with my life? But then at the same time, you're like, this is all I want to do with my life. So yeah. It's like, oh, I'm not well mentally.
No, none of us are. But it's like, you really like when you strip apart what being a comedian is, it's like our goal is to be laughed at by a crowd. Like, that's insane behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thing you spin your entire childhood and adolescence avoiding, like, just please don't let anyone laugh at me. We're like, I hope somebody laughs.
Yeah.
Please. Laugh at my pain. It's a sickness. But then I was just like addicted. I worked 3 jobs saving up because I was going to move to LA or New York. And then I visited LA and I was like, all right, LA. I met
that
a crackpot
like, manager.
Do you
ever wish in hindsight that you had gone to New York? Because I feel that way a lot. Because New York's tougher. And now as I get older, I'm like, I love New York so much, but it is such a hard place to live. And it's like, after living in LA for so long, it's like,
we're pussies.
I'm like, actually I want sunshine and I want to be able to do my laundry without struggling.
I know. And it's like, I don't want to have to like carry groceries up 6 flights of stairs.
No.
Or whatever. You know, it's like, but I think about this all the time mm-hmm. because it's hard because I'm like, oh, well, especially given that like what I really care about most is stand up. Like I don't have, I'm trying to figure, I don't have any like clear goals outside of stand up. Like mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I would writing for TV would be good. Give me a credit. It'd be a fun experience. I'd love to be in the room tossing out ideas. I love like mm-hmm. that. It'd be good. Like if somebody offered me a part on a sitcom, I'd be like, yeah, because it will all help me book my stand up more.
Yeah.
But I just don't have those clear goals, which makes more sense in LA if you're pursuing something like that, I think,
yeah.
especially the acting. But then it's like, and I'm going, oh, if I went to New York, I would probably be a stronger comedian. Who knows, mm-hmm. like, what things I would have done because I, you know, where I'd be at if I went there. But then I'm like, but it, you know, it's like, we're not household names, but it's working. Like,
yeah,
we didn't not make it in LA, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely. It's like, this is, it's so tough to get where we are and we're here and we keep working, so by extension, we'll probably continue to do better and better.
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't know where the top is of, like, whatever this, like, climb up mm-hmm. a hill of making it is, but, like, I know I'm going up, and yeah. I'm going to keep going up for a while. So it's weird to go, like...
You have to go up, you have to keep going up so that you have a high enough place to jump off of when you're ready to leave.
Yeah, exactly. <this plane. laughs> Yeah, I have to go up to the roof of the Andaz and do it old school. Oh. Now it's
too
hack.
Inside baseball.
Yeah.
You can't, you've got to go from a higher building because you're a better comic. You have to prove
that's true.
He was an open micer. So
I do need to move to New York and go off the Empire State Building. There probably you go. It's like aim high, very high.
At least you don't, that 6-story walk up, at least. Yeah,
you don't want to risk surviving. Yeah, so it's weird because even when people ask me, like, I don't know if you ever get, like, you know, newer comedians asking you, like, oh, do you have any advice? Or, like, where mm-hmm. should I go? Like, when people are in, like, really small markets. My advice is still, like, go to a slightly bigger market. Then if you really care about stand-up, I'd go to New York, even though that's not what I did.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you tried to give somebody better advice than you had. And, like, I will tell everybody, like, start in a small market. And what I do say to people, I'm like, figure out whatever Beth Stelling did and do that. which fuck. I think and I don't know Beth personally, but from what I've observed, it seems that she was doing well in Chicago and would come out to LA here and there and, like, started making connections and started, and, like, long before she moved here, where I just fucking yeah. straight up moved here. And it's like, that's much, much harder.
Oh yeah. Well, and I think it's like, if you go to a city that's like, not a non-existent market, but something like Chicago, where there mm-hmm. is definitely a scene, where there's a lot of opportunity to get up. There's, like, Chicago, Denver, mm-hmm. Austin is probably one of them.
Atlanta.
Atlanta's got a good scene. Yeah, and Seattle was, I don't know. I guess Seattle, Portland, like, so going to, like, one of the smaller, I would call them, like, B markets, maybe, I guess, mm-hmm. and developing there so that when you do come to LA or New York, you have, like, solid material. Mm-hmm. If something's bombing on a short set where you're, like, trying to improve, you at least know how to get out of it. You have the tools. But I was in Tampa, and I remember someone going, I was like, I'm going to move to LA. And one of the comedians, because I'd done, like, 4 open mics since the
so you're ready
Florida's
to go pro.
Funniest person incident. But one of the comedians was like, nah, you want to be a big fish in a small pond first. And I was like, why the fuck would I want to be a big fish in a small pond? Fuck this pond. I was yeah. like, no, I don't. I want to be a big fish in a big pond. I need to get into a new pond. Well, but the other thing is like, it's sticky because, and I like that you pointing out that, like, Beth started coming out here as she got better, because it's sometimes I think if you're in a small place and you get, like, you become, like, the guy, you get a little too comfortable. Cause when you come to LA and New York, people are going to be like, nobody gives a fuck what you did in your hometown.
Yeah, and we both know people that have reached that level of comfort in, let's say, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to do road gigs from Chicago because it's so central. And then all we ever hear is like, well, I'm going to move out to LA next year. And then fast forward a decade and you're like, you're going to what? No, you're not, because you have it too good here because you're the guy here. And you know you're not going to be the guy when you get out there, and you don't want to lose that place.
Yeah, that, like, you're the fucking cool person in the mm-hmm. scene, and, like, that can be very alluring. And honestly, like, yeah, that's fine. If all you want to do is be cool in whatever city you like living in,
just say that.
Fine,
okay.
But don't. Yeah, like, just be like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm never. This is the top, because you could be, like you said, it's like you could be a full on working road comedian from some markets in the Midwest, like Chicago.
Yeah.
But, like, don't act like you're gonna go somewhere. That's why it's tricky, because then you go, like, you're fucking headlining shows all over your town. You come to LA and they're like, well, put your name in the bucket. If we draw, you can get 3 minutes. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm staying at a hotel that's $300 a night. And you're like, all right, well, there's another mic down the street if you don't get pulled up. I remember just getting in a car with people I had just met, because I was at the store and I didn't get up. And they're like, well, we're going to Sunset Grill. And I was like, oh, now I'm just realizing we took a car to Sunset Grill. Why? But
I also like that you say, I remember getting in a car with people I just met, as though that's a completely far off memory. Because I'm like, I just got in a car with somebody I had just met a week ago in another country.
Yeah, I guess I'd like road gigs. You do it all the time. You're like, oh, you're the person taking me to the show and not a serial killer. I just trust you implicitly. Yeah, it's fucking insane. And it was like, because... I am glad I made the leap to somewhere bigger early.
Yeah.
If I did it over, I wouldn't have done LA. I probably would have gone, I mean, in that instance, because I was like, well, it's LA or New York. I didn't know shit, which most people don't know shit.
Yeah.
So I would have got, like, I would go New York, but, like, now knowing everything, I probably would have gone, like,
knowing
Chicago,
actually literally everything.
Which is a fact. I know everything. Wait, knowing so what you, I know about comedy. Yeah. Anyway,
so as soon as you start stand-up, you know you want to do it professionally.
Yeah.
Is your family immediately supportive of this, or were they like, what the fuck are you thinking?
You know, they were tepidly... I think they were like more inwardly like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, give it a shot. But like, I also had at the time, I had like a working day job in Tampa when I first said like, this is what I want to do. I had like a government job,
mm-hmm.
like nice benefits, not great money, but like it was nice. And I was like working a bunch of this. So I think they thought like, oh, she, you know, she'll, it's a little phase she's going through.
Yeah.
And then when I was moving to LA, they were like, oh. Okay. And I remember my mom just going, well, you know, just don't do cocaine.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what?
That's the, well, you know, 80s comedians, but I don't think it was till my mom saw me go up that she was like, oh, you're going to be okay. Like, she's fine. Like, she's came to a show in Alaska where a bunch of people came out and it went well, thank God. And she was just like, oh, all right. You're not as deranged as I previously was telling myself.
That's really funny. So you, wait, how long were you doing stand-up in Tampa before you moved to LA?
Not, I mean.
It was just the four open mics and then you're like, deuces.
I mean, the span of time was probably close to a year, but it wasn't like, when I came to LA, I hit the ground running. I was like, open mics every night. You know, hustle, fucking grind,
so,
that bullshit.
I'm so jealous of that because I didn't. I knew I wanted to do stand-up for a living, but I was also fucking terrified. So, like, terrified of failing and terrified of, like, not having a more serious job, I guess, you know?
No, I just, like, came in and I, like, leaned into it. Because I was like, I've got X amount of money in savings. Like, I moved out here with, I think, somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 worth of savings.
Wow.
Which, coming from Florida, I was like, this is a pretty solid base. And then getting out here, I was like, I got to make it quick, which like did not happen. Like I ended up getting jobs, obviously, and like whatever. But it was just sort of that like, I don't know. I had a hunger and like probably an addiction where I just was like, got to get up every night. I'm going multiple times a night. All I wanted to do was get on stage and like work out material. I had this like binder, which... I lost.
I love a binder.
I'm pretty sure I have one abusive ex-boyfriend who I'm pretty sure threw it out when I was breaking up with him. But it was like, Lisa, when I tell you, like, it's weird how in most aspects of my life, I'm the most disorganized person I've ever seen. But I had a binder with letter dividers, A, B, C, D, and I had bits like behind each thing and like
total
right
Joan
outside.
Rivers situation.
Yeah, like, and then once I lost that in like 2012, I think that's the last time I've had any fucking organized bit material.
You were like, if I've lost this, I can't carry on. I'll never.
Yeah, no, it was just one of those. Have you ever lost a joke notebook or lost like the notes in your phone or the voice memos?
I have thought I lost them and then I found them. And I think if I fully lost them, I think I would spiral mentally. I don't think I could continue.
Yeah, no, I think I literally was like, I cannot afford the emotional toll of risking losing another joke notebook. And therefore, I no longer have a joke notebook. And I just have like scrawled notes in my phone, which also I could lose. But like, it's, yeah, no, I was nuts. It was like three or four mics a night. I ended up making friends with whoever the fuck. When I came out here, I was dating someone and he moved out here and then we broke up and then like, then I really leaned in. I went like extra like avoid these feelings by doing stand-up comedy. And I ended up making like a little core group of friends who, you know, for a year, you know, a few years we would ride around with each other to mics and it was like nice to have this sort of LA family. Then I made the mistake of dating one of them even though I hated him and then he ended up being an abusive piece of shit.
And then you made that same mistake again and again?
He was the he was the only abusive
one.
But like, I mean, that I noticed. But who knows how? Who knows the ways I've been abused? That like
that
the abuse was so much worse when we were younger. That I'm like, well, that's not abuse. Like,
yeah.
And like when people go like, oh my God, what Louis did was terrible. I'm like, well, have you ever? You've obviously never had anything really terrible happen to you. I mean, it wasn't a good look. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
I think you shouldn't have done it, but I'm like,
pretty bad. Yeah.
But that's like, it took me a long time to go like, oh no, I'm fucked up. Like,
yeah,
that's
like, that's how broken your brain is, that you're like, no, this is actually where abuse starts. And it's like, no, it's not.
It took me so long to go like, oh no, my perception is so far beyond that like, I don't like, I'm the fucked up one going, that's not a big deal. And it's like, oh, what happened to you? Fucking that you're just like, oh, walk it off. But
yeah.
And then it like went from open mics to like, finally, like I started hearing about comedy festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, I want to try to do those. So it's trying to get, you know, when you first start trying to get a tape of yourself, because people are like, if you want to do more shows, you should have a clip of yourself.
It is fucking impossible to get a tape of yourself.
It is a goddamn nightmare.
And when people are like, why don't you have a good tape? It's like, it's not because I'm fucking lazy. You could tape every single show and every night, like at one point, like a hawk will fly in and just grab the camera and leave. And it's like, it's
like, that sounds crazy, but I once, I was trying to, this has happened on multiple occasions where I'll go into the sort of manic, I need to have better, like I need to, you know, focus on specific goals for stand up. And I'll go through mm-hmm. these phases of, I'm going to try to get a late night set.
Mm-hmm.
And in the most recent one, I will tell you, I was like one round of notes away from being like, we're like, we're going to do it. We just got to tweak this one joke. And then COVID happened. And I was like, I give up. But like, I was like, I'll never be on TV. But in one of those instances, like years before, I had the set that I thought would be good. I just need to get the tape. And I swear to God, I was at the Ha Ha Cafe, the new one night. Couldn't have been a better set. Like I was like, it was exactly what I wanted with the, because my thing is too, also like, if when I'm working on TV, a TV set, which sounds stupid because I've like done none, but if one of the jokes goes even like tepid, so many times just go, ah, fuck this, I'm just gonna do jokes I like, fuck the tape, like mm-hmm. and then it's done. But like I nailed it, I hit all the punchlines, I did the order I wanted to do, and like it's there's so many things going on psychologically when you're trying to do that, because it's like, be in the moment, you want the set to be good, but you're like,
time it exactly perfectly.
Yeah.
And for TV, and you have to slow down.
And then what I had was, I didn't have a tripod. I had a selfie stick because my mom lived in Korea. She sent me selfie sticks, but it would hold the phone up. So I had propped the phone in the selfie stick. You guys listening can't see, I'm trying to act it out to Lisa, but like imagine like just the camera's facing out on the selfie stick, it's laying, you know, the whole stick's flat, and then you fold up the thing. The fucking host of the show, this was on like the back table where the comics were sitting.
My face is already dropping, I'm already upset.
The host of the show went back and comics were sitting there, and she's like, oh, whose selfie stick is this? And like picked it up, she's like, look at me, oh, this is a selfie stick. And they were like, she's filming her set.
I would have murdered her. I would have choked her to death.
You know what's so funny is that,
I hope,
like,
you,
I
still
like,
hate her, whoever she is.
I do. And the thing is like, I really, really liked her. She's like not a bad person. And
oh, she is though.
I mean, no. And then and she's like, oh my God. I mean, she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed, this is what I did. And I was like, no big deal. And I was trying to like, I was trying to tell myself that, like, you'll get the set again, it's not a big deal. And but I quit. That was like, I was another 2 years before I fuck, because I was like, you fucking idiot.
It's so.
And then I just gave up trying to get the set.
It knocks all the wind out of you. You know, like, I remember when you and I were on the road the second time around, we were in Indianapolis and I was filming a set, and it was on a tripod in the corner, and it had just fallen over somehow in the middle of my set. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, I've hired people to film sets and something goes wrong, or like they don't adjust the lighting right. So it's like, you know, being a blonde white lady, it's very easy for you to just be blown out and look like a fucking orb on stage.
A ghost.
It's like, it's like, you can't send that to anyone for late night. Like, I did that when I taped my JFL audition a couple years ago. It was like, you can't see me. I look like an apparition.
And you're like, no, but it was such a good set. Why don't you? And it's like, I finally had to the lengths, by the way, you will go to mm-hmm. when there is like a good set within your grasp on tape. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally did a show at Flappers Claremont and paid them. I paid Flappers like $50 for a tape. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to, but I was like, I don't have a tape. But that tape got me into the Ventura Harbor Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. And then there was a guy, I made it to the finals of the Ventura Harbor Comedy Festival, which in the grand scheme of comedy festivals, this is not even a blip on the radar. It's mm-hmm. so tiny. It's whatever. It's a lot of people's like, oh, it's my first festival or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Then there was a guy filming who like lived in Ventura. He had a camera. I got off the stage after my like final round set. I didn't win. I think they were sexist. Whatever. Fucking. I don't know the guy who won, but I know that I don't think he's working anymore. So, okay. But I like went up to the guy and was like, how can I get a copy of that set? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to, it was like a fucking old school ass camera. And mm-hmm. like, oh, I've got to transfer to a DVD. I mean, I hunted this man down and I drove mm-hmm. back to Ventura, which is like an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of LA to like get a DVD. And I brought it to my house and I like burned it. But then that, it's so crazy that like, had I not paid for the Flappers comedy set, which led to me going to Ventura Harbor, that set got me in. The next year I got into, I didn't do all these festivals. I got into 13 comedy festivals.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Off of that one set. Uh-huh. And I was like, thank fucking God I hunted this guy down. And one of the festivals I got into was, it was called Trial by Laughter. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing anymore, but it was in Indianapolis. And it's one of those things where it's, there's a few
where
festivals.
There's a shooting where people are, there's snipers that shoot you if you don't do good.
I wish there had been for the last set I did, but it was one of those festivals where you every, so there's some festivals that do this. They're sort of like competition festivals where they mm-hmm. pick a winner, but there's a handful that do this thing where they're like, you can't repeat material, which by the way, if you're listening as a comedian, you're like, ah, yeah, don't take that seriously. Like, literally the amount of people I've seen in those festivals repeat material and move on and like do fine and then like do well and like, mm-hmm. oh, they got an agent. The MTV wants to put them on. And it's like, I was like, oh, I did my first set. Because you don't know how far you're going to make it. So I was like, yeah. I'll do my best stuff. Then I moved on. I'll do my best stuff now. Then I'll move on. And then I was in the finals with these people who'd been doing it like at this point, like 10 mm-hmm. years. I mean, like Ryan Niemiller, I think, ended up winning. And if you don't know him, he was on AGT. He's like finally exploded.
Yeah.
But like he was a beast back then. And I yeah. ate shit. Not only did I eat shit, I followed Ryan Niemiller, made a joke about his hands. That bombed.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh, you ooh. Can't. The lesson learned, by the way, he's like a close friend of mine. I was like, you can't do that. Like you can't joke about the thing about another person, especially if everyone loved them. And it wasn't like mean. It was just some fucking like give him a hand. Who knows? Yeah. You know, like. Something stupid. And then I just bombed for 7 minutes straight and I wanted to like walk into the seat. But while I was there, here's the thing I had started doing anytime I was, if I got into festivals, because I'm a workaholic and psychopath, I shouldn't just casually say I'm a psychopath. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You would get to these festivals where they're like, you're going to have at least 4 spots. And I'd be like, okay, well, that's obviously not enough. I need to see if I can do other spots on shows in town.
Oh, absolutely. I do the same thing. And I remember I was doing that when I was in, when I did Bird City a few years ago, I had whatever the festival spots were. And then Pete Lee was at Stand Up Live. And so yeah. I was like, hey, can I come do guest spots? And everyone at the festival was like, why are you doing that? And I was like,
you're like, cause I want to work at a club.
You? And then, yeah. And then Casey passed me at Stand Up Live. And then I started working there. And he passed me for feature work at that point, but like, yeah. I'm like, that made me a lot of money later. Hello, yeah. what are we doing?
Exactly.
Like 3 spots at a festival for what? I'm yes. like, I can bond with all of you assholes when we get back to LA. I don't need to fucking bond with you right now.
Yeah, it's like, also I can come out. I know there's an itinerary where like everyone's going to be at this bar. You know, it's like we're in a stupid Facebook group together. I'll find you yeah. after my guest spot. But especially when there was clubs, I'd be like, well, because I know that like I want to do stand up. I want to be like, I am a club comic. I wanted to be a club comic. I want to work the road. Like that's what I wanted to do. So yeah, if, like there's a club I'd try to, who's working? Can I get a guest spot? And in Indianapolis, there was another club. The festival was at a club called Morty's. And I think maybe some other like side mm-hmm. things, but there was a club called Crackers, which RIP, but at the time it was like a very popular club. Mm-hmm. And Brad Williams was headlining and I didn't really know him. We had once seen each other on OkCupid. And then I was like, I don't date comics. Both taste lie. For the record, it wasn't because he's a little person. I was like, this guy's a headliner. I can't do that. Yeah. Not that he would have dated me either, by the way. Sure. Trust me. His wife is a hot Asian. But I was like, hey, man, could I come to a guest spot? And he's like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I went and did the guest spot. It went really well. And I didn't know. I don't even know if they're still. Is Rooftop Comedy? Do you know Rooftop Comedy?
Barely. Yeah, I mean, I don't like know anyone there, but I know of it.
I think they're probably still doing stuff, but they were like one of the original comedy sites where it's like, mm-hmm. you can come here for comedy videos. And what they do is they have cameras in a few clubs around the country just constantly mm-hmm. on during shows, and they'll take clips from your set. So Rooftop Comedy emailed me and they're like, hey, just so you know, we filmed there. We'd like to take a clip from your set. And I was like, hey, that's cool. Can I have that tape though?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. And that tape got me into the Montreux Comedy Festival in Switzerland.
Oh, that's incredible.
And so from that, I got to go to a festival that flew me out, put me up, paid me, introduced me to like all of the, like the biggest French comedians in the world. But that was like my toe in to like, that's how I got into doing comedy in Europe.
I love that.
And it's like, it's just fucking every little thing adds up, which is like, you just never know where something's going to take you, which does kind of ignite the like, maybe I shouldn't say no to things, but like.
Yeah, you never know. And also I feel like everything you do is planting seeds for like something down the road that you absolutely cannot see and you don't know is coming. And it's like,
absolutely.
As long as you keep working and keep doing your personal best, things are going to work out. And it's going to feel like for a long time, it's going to feel like it's not going to work out. And then it will.
Yeah.
And then just, and you don't even. Will.
Exactly. And you don't even realize like where it's going. Like from Montreux, that's where I met Ari Shaffir, which a lot of people have opinions about him because he said a lot of mean things specifically about Kobe Bryant, but whatever. He like invited me to start touring with him, and I did well enough at that festival that, because he was like the face of the Americans. It was the first time they ever had English speakers. So it was Ari and then the five people that they'd chosen from America and Canada to like perform. And then 2 years later, they asked me to come be the Ari. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But then I met but they had expanded
like,
it.
Can you be hideous? And you're like, yeah. Well, no, but I'll
can
do my best.
Can you creep us all out? Say something about Jews. And I'm like, well, I could do a few of those things. But then they had expanded the festival even more that year. So there was like, I mean, I met like festivals for or comedians from Australia and like some Asian comedians and like this really great Italian comedian. And there was a whole African show and the Africans watched me bomb in front of Swiss people and were like, she's so fucking funny. Like the Africans in the back of the room were losing it. The Swiss people were like, I'm so scared of her. And then I got invited. Then they booked me to do a festival in Africa. So like, it's just crazy.
Life is crazy. Really crazy how one thing leads to another, and it's all unexpected. It's not like
you don't know what it's going to be.
It's not like you did the spots in Indianapolis thinking, "All right, this is going to be the thing that takes me overseas," or
this is my ticket to Africa.
Yeah, it's. But I'm so obsessed with all of that because it's like truly all of this came from. You can connect it back where like the Africa gig and. Started the seed you planted really was
at Flappers
for that fucking set at Flappers. And so not to give them any credit.
No, I've paid them enough dues. But like, I know it is like when I started doing the backwards math on that, I was like, well, I don't want to admit this, but I mean, where it really started was doing the 3 minute their fucking open mic where they'll if you do good. Then you can do a bringer show here and maybe win a bowl of fries or whatever.
If you do well at the open mic, we'll allow you to invite all your friends and family to pay for tickets to the show.
Yeah. But it's also like, but then you look at like, you know, I wouldn't do that now, but I could have easily back then. And some people do. I could have had an ego of like, I am above this. When I was, I mean, I still am effectively nobody. But even I could have been like, I'm not going to pay for open mics. I'm not going to pay. But I was like, you know what? This fucking sucks, but I'm going to do it. And like, you just kind of never know.
Yeah. You never know. What do you think is next for you, if you had to guess?
Suicide, probably, okay. If I had to guess. No.
Well, that's good.
You know, I think if I had to guess, And my guessing will probably never be correct. I think maybe I'm going to write on a TV show, but I think some type of filmed special or televised stand up is on the horizon.
Good. I love that.
And maybe and that a number one logical. Comedy album.
That seems like, completely logical to me. Seems like the next step. I have one last question for you. I loved hearing about all these, like, how, because I'm like, I know you and I know parts of your story, but I'm like, I don't really know how one thing led to another in so many ways. So my last question is, if your childhood self, like if 11-year-old Jessica Michelle could meet you now, what do you think she would think?
That I was a gay hippie? No, she would be like, that's nice. Like, I think she'd be like, hey, you're a comedian like George Carlin? And I'd be like, yeah, just like him. We're like, so similar. It's crazy. I think that, it's so funny you say like 11 too, because that was such a like crucial fucked up part of my life.
Oh, I'd be
like,
yeah.
Like it would be, I would be like, hey, like you're gonna be okay. You know?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I'm going to cry through my Adderall.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah, I think she would think it was so fucking cool. oh, my God. There's literally just beyond this is my friend's cat playing with a chandelier lamp, which is really fucking, someone's going to die. You guys who are listening on audio, we're on Zoom and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, no, I think that she would just think it was so cool. I mean, she'd be like, well, I'm a little disappointed you didn't go to Harvard, but. I'm like, all right, bitch, fuck off. Get a job now if you want to go to Harvard.
And she'd be like, wait, what are student loans?
Student what? Yeah, no, I'd be like, don't go to college. I would change the whole trajectory of my life like a shitty version of Back to the Future.
That's really funny.
Now I'm just working in a Subway.
I mean, there's still time for that. If you want to manage a Subway, I believe in you.
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, God. I'm sorry. The cat is caught in the chandelier lamp.
All right. Well, I guess I'll end it there.
It's not my cat. I swear. I'm not a cat lady yet. Not, no offense. All right.
Well, it's so good talking to you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Once again, that was Jessica Michelle Singleton. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram at JMS Comedy. And I am Lisa Curry. You can find me on Twitter at Lisa_Curry and on Instagram at Olympian Lisa Curry. As usual, if you're enjoying the podcast, please like, subscribe, leave a nice little comment, tag up the side of a building to let people know. If you're not enjoying the podcast, keep it moving. Go listen to something else. I don't know what you're doing to yourself. And last but not least, I will be headlining in Alaska. I've never been before and I'm very excited. I will be in and around the greater Wasilla area Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. So check out my website to get yourself some tickets. I believe they're reasonably priced. I'm not entirely sure. And you know what? I'll have some new merch for you when I come out. So that's really exciting too. So go to lisacurry.net for that information and I will see you out there. Okay, thanks. Bye.